Call the meeting to order. This is the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. And let the record reflect that it is approximately 1:35 p.m. on Thursday, January 29th. We do have a quorum present. On my left, Senator Davis. On my right, Senator Meyer and Senator Thomas. And myself, Senator Pascven. I believe Senator Bundy is on the way, so we'll expect him soon. Please, if everyone can turn off their cell phone, we've been told that even if it's on vibrate, that it does interfere with the electronic recording. And so if everyone could not just put them on vibrate, but turn them off. I would like to introduce my committee aide, Jeff Stepp, and we have the committee secretary, Ann, here, and
Tammy.
So thank you.
Sammy.
Okay.
She's a great singer, too.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And Senator Bundy has arrived, so we have the full committee today. And the purpose of this meeting is to hear the overview of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development and the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Commissioner Click Bishop is ill, but we have the Assistant Commissioner Guy Bell, who was so kind as to hand me his card just now. So if we could begin by welcoming Assistant Commissioner Guy Bell from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. With me is David Stone, and I do apologize for the commissioner. He just wasn't feeling well today, so we suggested that he just bring his air into the room and perhaps spread that poor feeling. So David might have a couple of introductory comments that Commissioner Bishop would otherwise give.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is David Stone. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of Labor, and Commissioner Bishop would be here because he's very passionate about this, I'm sure, as many of you know. Mm-hmm. And I know he regrets not being here. Our intention is to give you a brief overview about the Department of Labor and what we do, particularly as focused on workforce development and the various different programs that we have. And since Guy is really the brains of the operation and I'm more of a figurehead, I'm going to let him take the lead, and I'll add a little maybe color commentary if it's all right with you, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Okay, thank you. And we do have a PowerPoint presentation that I'll be working from, and I intend to cover it fairly quickly. If I'm going too quickly, please let me know, and also if I'm going too slowly. The second page of our presentation just gives a quick overview of what we're all about. We have a dual mission of workforce development and a regulatory component. In the area of workforce development, we develop and disseminate labor market information, workforce projections largely, but also population estimates and other data. We offer employment assistance through 23 job centers around the state. We offer worker training and education, but more importantly, worker training referrals to training providers around the state, whether those be the university, private training providers, and others. And we operate the Alaska Vocational Technical Center in Seward and with a small component in Anchorage, offering a vocational training from that institution. We provide unemployment insurance benefits. We pay unemployment insurance through the Employment Security Division.
Muted.
And we assist people with disabilities in obtaining
unmuted
through our Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. On the regulatory side, we perform an agent wage and hour function, assuring people are paid the wages they're entitled to. We enforce workplace safety through occupational safety and health and mechanical inspection efforts. We adjudicate workers' compensation disputes through the Division of Workers' Compensation and the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. And we also, on the regulatory side, collect unemployment insurance taxes. Just a quick synopsis of what we do generally. It could be a lot more detailed than that, but I try to keep it brief.
Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Guy, a couple of years or three, 4 years back, you mentioned your worker demographics. You shared with the legislature a prediction of what you thought the demographics of our future workforce is going to look like. And if my memory serves, the vast majority of our future residents were going to be under the age of 5 and over the age of 65, and the smallest cohort would be 40 to 50-year-olds. Do you have an update on that? Is that still current?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, we do have data, and of course I don't have it memorized, but I can provide that information to you. And I think we do have, obviously we have the bubble of the aging population as well as a bubble on the younger end, and then there's a dip in the 30-something age group, as I recollect, and we can provide you that those data.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just making a note of that. And moving to the second slide, just a little bit about our labor market, and this sort of goes along with some of Senator Bundy's observations. We do have an aging workforce. More and more of the people in the workforce are over the age of 51, and that's actually becoming younger and younger all the time, I'm finding, because I just turned 51 last November. And I plan to be in the workforce a lot longer, and I think that's what's happening also with our workforce. People are staying in the workforce longer for various reasons, but at the same time, there are people retiring from the workforce that we need to, in very highly skilled positions, and we need to train our younger and emerging workers for those jobs. As a state, we need to. And at the same time, we have a significant issue with unemployed workers in the state, and at any time, there are approximately 22,000 unemployed workers in the state each month. And as we all know, we have a significant non-resident workforce, and so a significant number of non-resident workers are in Alaska at any time. Turning to the next slide, just a little bit more about the non-resident workforce. These are new data. Tomorrow, the legislature will be sent a report from our research and analysis section called Non-Resident Workers in Alaska, which gives much more detail on the non-resident workers in Alaska, their makeup, wages, and so on. But just at the very highest level, they earned about $1.7 billion in 2006, which is the last year for which we have complete data. That's just over 13% of all Alaska wages. And they accounted, just in the terms of the oil industry, which is one we tend to be interested in because they're very high wage jobs, very high skill generally, 29% of oil industry workers, which is down slightly from the prior year. And the wages for non-resident workers in the oil industry are significantly higher, $364 million versus $327 in 2006. And generally, what we're trying to do as an agency is to find out what Alaska can do better as a system to train Alaskans so that more Alaskans are available for the jobs that are being taken by non-resident workers, and particularly the jobs that take up skills and they're the high-paying jobs. We're not focusing on all the jobs because a significant number of jobs are fairly low-skill that are taken by non-resident workers, and you'll see that in the report. Seafood industry and tourism industry jobs, and certainly we want as many Alaskans as possible to go into those jobs, but they don't necessarily take a tremendous amount of training, so there's not a lot we can necessarily do to affect that outcome. On the next slide, just a little bit of information about the youth and those that are entering the workforce, and about every year, and these are pretty steady numbers, about 11,000 people in Alaska turn 18. We know from the data that a number of youth, teens, 16 to 19, that are not in school and not working. So there are a number of people in that age group that are disengaged. And we also know that there's a significant percentage of people that are not graduating from high school. We try to help some of that through our adult basic education program and general education diploma. But there are a significant number of people that we would say are falling through the cracks. And we, over the past several years, have been working with the Department of Education, the university, and others to try to address some of these issues and to try to improve those outcomes. And I know this is not a budget committee, Mr. Chairman, but we do have a couple of slides just giving a quick snapshot of our budget. The slide number 6 indicates our total budget is $175 million, of which $31 million is general fund. So we're largely funded by non-federal money or non-general fund money. federal funds and other state funds, and we're a very small slice of the total state general fund operating budget. The slides on page 7 and 8 just give a breakout of our funding by division, by program, and I won't go into these in any detail, but if you have any questions for me at any time, you just contact us and we can answer questions about our funding. Slide 9 is a quick overview. We try to, in one picture, encapsulate the state's training system. We were asked to sort of paint a picture of this at one point last year, and we tried to do that with a single slide. And integral to our training system is the Workforce Investment Board, the group identified the top right. That's largely a private sector group that sets the overall policy for workforce development in the state. And as an agency, we do our best to follow those policies that are driven by the private sector. But there's a significant state and private partnership generally when it comes to workforce development, which we consider in the training system, post-secondary, our employment services, the services that are provided through training providers in the private sector, and ultimately we all are trying to work together for one outcome, which is to get people into careers, jobs, preferably jobs that can sustain a family. So we have developed partnerships with other state entities and with private sector partners that we're pretty proud of, really, and we think we've made some pretty significant strides in terms of improving opportunities for Alaskans. The next slide just summarizes some of our state entity partnerships. I mentioned the University of Alaska. We're very closely involved with the University of Alaska in coordinating our efforts. The Department of Education and Early Development, with respect to our engagement with K-12, I think over the past several years we've become more engaged at the K-12 level than we've been historically. Commerce and Economic Development, we work with in terms of meeting workforce needs associated with economic development projects. And we've developed a close relationship with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and looking at opportunities for apprenticeship and public construction projects. And we feel like the relationships that we have with the other state agencies are very healthy right now, and we've got a great partnership and a lot of collaboration going on. As to the private sector, our 11th slide gives a quick snapshot of some of the partnerships that we're engaged in. First, of course, the Workforce Investment Board that I mentioned earlier. We, under Commissioner Bishop, have developed a training plan for the gas line. We did ask, and we got great support from a private sector steering committee in developing that gas line training plan. We provided a copy of that document to every legislative office. If you'd like to get another copy, we can provide that to you. It's also on the web. In terms of financial contributions, we feel like we've gotten great support from the private industry in some of the activities we've been engaged in. The construction academies around the state that operate construction-related training generally in high school facilities for both high school age and in high school kids and for adults after hours. And we have great partnerships with the home builders, with the Association of General Contractors, and we're actually getting people employed by virtue of these training academies, and the private sector is contributing funding toward that training. The same type of activity is happening with our State Training and Employment Program, or STEP, which we estimate we receive $5 million in contributions from the private sector in fiscal year 8. We're proud of the improvements we've made through our Occupational Safety and Health Program in terms of employer incentives and initiatives to improve workplace safety. And I think we can show some results later on in the presentation to prove that we're really seeing a much improved safety effort among employers, and we think we have something to do with that. And then finally, with respect to workers' compensation, we've got a number of advisory groups and a board that is made up of individuals from the private sector. Key accomplishments, slide 12. In the area of workforce development, we connected, this would be for July 1st, 2007 through June 30th, 2008. We connected over 31,000 people with jobs. We got over 6,600 people trained or into training support services around training. 529 Division of Vocational Rehabilitation clients were employed. AFTEC trained over 900 or nearly 900 Alaskans. We issued over 1,500 general education development diplomas, GEDs. And as we mentioned earlier, we published the Gasline training plan. On the regulatory side, this is the statistic I was talking about. There's been a 21% reduction in lost workday accident injuries by accident and as a result of accidents. And that's pretty significant accomplishment, we think, in terms of improved workplace safety. And that's obviously takes a partnership between our agency, but it's much more important that employers focus on workplace safety, and they definitely are. We've reduced the time it takes to resolve wage claims, and are in the area of workers' compensation, uninsured employer detection. We're detecting uninsured employers, as the legislature wants us to, and as well as uninsured injuries to enforce the workers' compensation law. The next slide is one that actually is sort of the commissioner's talking point, and this is a priority to him, which is apprenticeship and registered apprenticeship in particular. It's something that Commissioner Bishop is very passionate about, and it's a goal of him during his time with the Department of Labor to see more people in registered apprenticeships in the state, and not traditional registered apprenticeships, but what we would call non-traditional registered apprenticeships. And Deputy Commissioner Stone in particular has been tasked with working with the mining industry, for instance, to develop partnerships with us, training providers in the U.S. Bureau of Apprenticeship to develop registered apprenticeships around the mining industry. And if you wanted to comment.
Yeah, I think that the mining industry, first of all, they're very high-skilling jobs, and a lot of Alaskans aren't qualified to get those jobs. So we're looking at training them. But what we want to do is to take young Alaskans from just entry level, which we've done a good job at training at entry level, which the university really does an excellent job. The Mining Petroleum Training Service is the best in the business as far as we're concerned in Alaska for training. We want them to evolve into just not only taking young people and getting them entry level, but to actually take them to what would be the equivalent of a journeyman status. For example, areas that we're working on is core drilling, which is exploration diamond drilling, which there's a high number of non-residents working in that industry. Those are high-paying jobs, and these are great potential jobs for people in rural Alaska because there's a lot of exploration going on in those areas. And we would like to take them to a two-year program to make them into a journeyman level. Other areas we're working on is heavy-duty mechanics for underground mines. We're looking at underground mine workers. How do you take them from an entry level all the way to a top mining hand? And these are areas where the mining industry has been very receptive, and I'm very enthusiastic about it.
Just more generally, we have entered into an agreement, a unique agreement with the U.S. Bureau of Apprenticeship to actually receive their apprentice enrollment data. And we've taken those data and compared it with other databases that we have, including the Permanent Fund database and the Unemployment Insurance database. And a pretty remarkable statistic is we've got 10 years' worth of registration information, and 91% of the persons that were registered during that period of time are still interactive or completed apprenticeship are still Alaska residents. So it gives jobs to Alaskans, and it keeps people in Alaska.
If we could interject,
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but thank you. I know in the construction industry they're having some trouble recruiting young people into a trade where they have to sweat and work and come to work on a regular basis. Your apprenticeship program, are you able to fill all the spots? Are you able to serve all the people that want to be apprentices?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, we of course can only influence the number of people that are taken into apprenticeships. What we're trying to do is to develop more relationships with firms to add apprentices. In terms of what we're trying to do for apprenticeship in the construction industry is first, a good example, I think, are these construction academies, which engage high school age kids in construction activities. They're operating in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Kenai, Matsu, Juneau, and Ketchikan. We're looking at trying to expand those out to rural Alaska with, in a partnership with the Denali Commission, to get basic skills training for high school age people, and then to get them interested and then engaged in the industry. And we're seeing quite high levels of success with that. And I think more and more school districts are taking that on and focusing on construction as a career. As an effort was made in between us in partnership with the industry, and I think it's starting to pay off.
Yes, Deputy Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Bundy, one of the things I think that we've had, where we've failed, is educating young people that basically most of the jobs in the future are jobs within the construction, with career and technical education jobs that don't require a four-year degree but do require further education, and that these are good jobs. And I think we failed in the schools to explain that these are really very good, high-paying, honorable jobs. And I think we're now partnership with the Department of Education as well as the University of Alaska, so that we want to build sort of a seamless transition for young people to explore careers at a young age and understand that these are really good careers. And I think by educating, we're going to see a lot more people going into these careers, which we need, as Assistant Commissioner Guy Bell talked about, is that we have an aging workforce, and unfortunately, a lot of us baby boomers are going to be retiring, although I don't see that for me anytime soon.
If I might follow up, but I guess what I'm looking for is there, do you have plenty of raw material? Do you have plenty of applicants for apprenticeship programs?
Through the chair, I think, you know, Commissioner Bishop would tell you this, that we have, between GEDs and between high school diplomas, we have to roughly 10,000 recruits every year, and we believe that there are people there, are young people there, that we can fill into these slots. We just have to get them directed in the right way and give them the opportunity.
Yeah, we haven't reached them yet, though.
We're working on it.
Okay, thanks.
Moving to the next couple of slides, I really don't plan to go into these in any detail. The next three pages are just quick summaries of some changes to our budget. Frankly, our budget is relatively flat year over year, and we'll be working, of course, with the Finance Committee on our budget, but I just wanted to give a little picture for the committee on what's happening with our budget in terms of changes. And slide 15 was an effort that we at the time Representative Meyer asked for us to try to come up with a single page that summarized our workforce training efforts, and that's the slide we came up with to start with our foundational program, which is federally funded, and the groups that we're serving, whether it's secondary, post-secondary, people on the job, or people that are need reemployment assistance, what programs offer those services, what they're funded from, how we fund those programs, and how many people we're serving in each of those categories. So it was just an effort to have on one page how many people we're serving with what program and in which groups. So I'd be happy to sit down with anyone and go over it in detail if you wish. And finally, we do have some capital budget requests, and they're identified on slide number 16. Most of them relate to the Alaska Vocational Technical Center in Seward, which has some significantly, I would call them, substandard facilities that really need to be replaced, and that's what we're making some efforts, particularly with respect to a dormitory that was built in the 70s with a student, the students built it, and the heavy equipment, diesel, and pipe welding training facility, which doesn't meet code requirements. And I'm sure the finance committees will be delving into those in much more detail. And Mr. Chairman, just one last thing we wanted to mention, and that's, we certainly will have a number of legislative issues that we expect will come before this committee, but two in particular we would like to mention. One has to do with the State Training and Employment Program, or STEP. That program is funded with a set aside of employee contributions to unemployment insurance. So rather than those employee contributions being directed to the UI Trust, they're directed to this account that is subject to appropriation by the legislature, but is subject to appropriation, is used by our agency to provide training to workers in Alaska, and we generally administer that through competitive grants. It provides about $8.5 million per year for workforce training, and unless it's extended by the legislature, it will expire on June 30th, 2010. So that would be, of course, not this legislative session, but by the end of next legislative session. There was intent in the bill last year that was enacted relating to STEP that we put together a task force to look at the STEP program, to look at potential changes to the STEP program with those that were most interested, the grantees and other people in the private sector. And Deputy Commissioner Stone has been leading that task force. We feel really good about the outcome of that task force's effort. And the task force's report was endorsed by the Workforce Investment Board, and we're hoping soon that legislation will be introduced to extend STEP and that it'll be available for your consideration. And then finally, on workers' compensation, medical costs. The legislature over the past few years has placed basically a CPI cap on workers' compensation medical rates. That cap expires on March 31st, 2009, and unless there is a new cap placed on that or some other action is taken by the legislature, there will be no cost controls on workers' comp medical costs beginning after that date. So we hope that legislation will be introduced shortly and that will be given consideration by the legislature.
That's a 2009 this year.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Meyer.
If I may follow up on that, is that a bill that you're going to be introducing on behalf of the governor? The workers' comp extension.
Through the chair, Representative Meyer, Senator Meyer, I apologize. Old dogs, you know, sorry.
Yeah,
I'm the old dog in that case.
You're just looking not on finance anymore.
I think it's too late. We're not sure exactly how it's going to be introduced yet. We're still working on that.
Okay, well, time is of the essence, of course. Yeah, so if you guys aren't going to do it, then perhaps some friendly folks on this side should do that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, are there any further questions by any senators?
I have.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple brief ones anyhow. If I can even read my own handwriting here. The numbers are somewhat staggering. The imported workers, you know, that's a sizable chunk of our workforce, and I realize a fair amount of it is probably seasonal, as I think you commented. And I realize that on an annual basis, there are a lot of visas granted to cultural exchange students, and some of that, I see some of it in Fairbanks, you know, in particular in the tourism industry, and it seems like Bulgaria is a great place to get workers, at least to come to Fairbanks. I'm not sure if that's consistent within the state, but I guess the point is, in that particular industry, there's a ramp up, and it's a fairly short period of time that they're working, and it just seems to me that there should be more opportunity for the Department of Labor and or others, the governor's office, to encourage those industries that start right around the end of the school year, college as well as high school, you know. And I know they don't just go boom from zero employees one day to a full complement the next day. And the same on the other end. They're very close to layoffs and starting their layoffs at the point in time when kids are returning to college and high school. So mm-hmm. If there was some way to, I guess, no better way of saying it, pressure them a little bit to maybe take a closer look at coordinating with the schools and career opportunities and things like that. I realize certain age groups, so we're kind of limited in the high school end, but we're not necessarily limited in the college end for jobs in that area, which are, you know, relatively low paying, but they're better than a lot of other jobs that kids end up working at. So that would be something that I might encourage anyhow and see how we might work out something that would help the approach to that. And and then of the various state entities that you mentioned, I didn't see I didn't see much coordination maybe with corrections, which we hear again the same kind of thing. If we could intervene with some of that, most of them, the education that the younger ones, particularly in jail, are getting an education in is how to become a better criminal almost, because they're not kept busy. I know in Fairbanks, there is no type of work performed by the prisoners other than in the laundry. That's about all they do, and they just kind of mill around there all day. And obviously in the winters, in particularly the interior, is very difficult to get anything done. So I realize that's a big step, and that's why maybe that needs to be coordinated with other agencies to help look at how we can potentially put vocational and technical education, at least some small amount of that, back into the prisons to work on training for those folks when they get out, rather than release them right back to their same environment.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, I can say that Commissioner Bishop has had discussions with the Department of Corrections about the possibility of establishing registered apprentice programs, actually to do at least pre-apprenticeship training for persons who are incarcerated, but with the likelihood that they'll be, back in the workforce just to in the near future. And that's that discussion, I would say, is it's in its infancy, but it's something that we're working towards.
Very good. Thank you. That's all I have.
Any further questions? I understand that there was listen-only participation in this presentation. Am I accurate in that understanding?
From the off-site, you mean?
From off-site, yes. Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, if I may, an additional question. Are you concerned with the unemployment rate that we currently have, and are you concerned that it may increase, especially in the mining industry, oil and gas industry? Certainly we've heard from the tourism industry that their numbers are down. Fishing, I don't know how they're doing, but just seems like, and if you look at what's happened in Lower 48, that this is something that we may want to be concerned about, and hopefully the economic stimuli, whatever that turns out to be, will employ some of these people that are unemployed. But do you have any general thoughts on that situation?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, we are concerned. There's been some uptick in our unemployment rate to, I think it's 7.5% now. So we do have an increasing number of people who are considered unemployed. And there has been some uptick in unemployment insurance claims. And of course, by virtue of some federal action and some state benefit provisions, there have been extensions of unemployment benefits. The weekly unemployment benefit was increased by virtue of legislative action last session, and that increase went into effect on January 1st. So, of course, that will help the workers who are unemployed and their families improve their weekly benefits. Our projection so far from our research section doesn't indicate a substantial decline in employment this year, but that's just a projection. Anything can happen, and it could happen. It's given the state of the economy, we could be pretty seriously affected. We are hopeful that the stimulus package will give us some opportunities as well, and everything from being able to get more youth work opportunities through that stimulus effort, to getting more workers who are dislocated into training and then into jobs that are available. We have concerns, but Alaska so far hasn't suffered nearly to the extent that other states have. The other benefit that we have is that our unemployment insurance trust is in good financial condition. We have approximately, as of the end of December, about $350 million in the trust. It is considered healthy by any measure, I think. And so we in terms of the state of our system right now, from the workforce perspective, we see a downward trend, but not the substantial downward trend that other states have faced, at least so far.
Okay. Thank you.
I have one question. On slide 12, you talk about the occupational safety, and that 21% reduction obviously is a very good thing. And the question I have is that attributed to a particular program or some other reason? How does that, where does it come from?
Mr. Chairman, we'd love to take credit for it, but I think part of it is frankly, is because employers are concerned with the cost of workers' comp, and they're taking steps to improve worker safety because it's a bottom line benefit to them.
Attitudes of safety.
I believe so, Mr. Chairman. I think we do have developed partnerships through our Occupational Safety and Health Division through some basically award programs, recognition of safe workplaces that we encourage safe workplace. We offer compliance inspections, so we will, at the request of an employer, inspect a facility for safety and without the fear of penalties. So we were trying to use the carrot as opposed to the stick to work on workplace safety. And I think that there are a number of activities that are coming together that are making a difference. And I think some of it has to do with what we're doing in partnership with employers, and others of it, of course, just happened because it's in the interest of the bottom line for employers.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one more short comment, maybe question, and that was regarding something asked earlier about apprenticeship and number of people getting into it. And unfortunately, in my prior life, we found that when people came to the unions looking for apprenticeship, generally out of high school, maybe with a GED or not, didn't realize what it really took. And in the trades, there is a wide variety of skills needed. And I think that intervention earlier in the high school, very early in the high school, to keep them interested and let them know that it's not going to be just simply that you've got to go to school till you're 16 and then I'm going to get out of school and then I'm going to become a carpenter or something like that. Doesn't happen that way. So we really need to have an impact on those kids understanding what it takes. And I realize that's the education system, but you guys may be helpful with this, gathering the statistics to just encourage them to, you know, take a look at that a lot earlier, because I never heard so many stories or had people report as we're looking at their high school records indicating that they did pretty good in high school, and pretty good was in their grades were D's and F's, mm-hmm. and maybe C's, but they thought they had done pretty well, I guess. So it doesn't match up very well with most trades.
Any further questions? I would thank the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, in particular Assistant Commissioner Guy Bell and Deputy Commissioner David Stone, and we would extend to Commissioner Click Bishop wishes for a quick recovery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
We need brief at ease, sir. We'll just take a brief at ease, and we'll have Commissioner Noddy. This time, we are here for the overview of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, and we welcome Commissioner Emil Noddy. And I would like to say that I met Commissioner Noddy more than 30 years ago, so we've been in contact over the years, and so it's a pleasure having Commissioner Noddy before us today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the chance to talk about the department, give you an overview. Speaking of old dogs, I think I can claim the title to that today. First, I'll just start with our mission statement is a healthy economy and strong communities. Pretty simple, but it's a hard target to meet. We have 6 divisions in the department and 1 office that is not quite a division. So I'll briefly go through some of the things that they do, and if I fall short, we have a deputy commissioner and some division directors here who can fill in. Besides the divisions, we have a relationship with 6 independent agencies or state corporations. We have 1 division is corporations, business, and professional licensing, and that fairly describes what they do. They work with 39 professional occupational licenses. They issue 100,000 licenses a year. They license the licensing boards, or license boards that the governor nominates, and the legislature approves the persons that are appointed. They deal with tobacco licensing. They register corporation trademarks. They investigate consumer complaints. And last, they've improved the web licensing procedure where people can, they made it easy to renew your licenses and get new licenses by going online. They also deal with the guide units and are providing new maps for big game guides. The next division, banking and securities, they deal with 71 financial institutions. That includes banks, savings and loans, credit unions, payday lenders, and and a few more. But they have to examine every institution every 18 months. So they're busy continuously examining the banking institutions. They also do, I won't say oversight, but they do examine or handle the complaints from Native corporations, mainly on elections and fair elections, and so they have some oversight there. They also investigate, they have investigators that deal with fraud. The insurance division, of course, they license the insurance agents and companies. They examine insurance companies and agencies. They do audit of financial reports and determine the financial solvency of the insurance companies. In the investigating side, they've done 54 cases, I think, in the last year, and had since 2006, they've had 8 criminal convictions. And they also handle consumer complaints regarding insurance. Our administrative services division does what they all do, the finances, personnel, information technology, and procurement. They keep us out of jail, out of trouble, hopefully. So Office of Economic Development, it's a small office, but they do a lot of publications. They publish Alaska Economic Performance Report and do net rate of return on the businesses. They publish the Alaska Minerals Industry Report, Alaska Minerals Commission, Alaska Loggers History, and this past year they started up the film office. They have a forestry specialist, and he just one forestry person. He does promoting recently he's been promoting hardwood products and translated our report on hardwoods to the Japanese language. They promote sawmills and recently some wood pellets. There's interest in wood pellets. They also deal with the arters. they have the 12 regional business development for trying to get economic development in the regions. And the legislature provides $57,000, excuse me, to the 12 arters, and they have to have a local match. But they promote small businesses in the regions and do training and help them when they don't know where to get information or where to move. They do some of that training and helping. They do the Made in Alaska. They control the logo and issue the permits to use that. And they have they work with small business assistants and they work with the university and SBA on that issue. So we have the Division of Investments, and it's a state-run, I think we could call it a state-run bank. They operate in areas where that are not adequately serviced because of high risk and limited collateral, that banks don't want to deal with them. They promote economic development, and they do provide a dividend to the state. They have 6 loan programs. The latest one is a capstone program for aviation. And that's the latest use of technology, providing great services, safety to rural Alaska mainly. And it's proven out in southeastern Alaska that they reduce accidents by, I think I saw a number, better than 30%, 40%. So it's coming online because of what Alaska stepped up to finance pilots, put the equipment in their airplanes. FAA committed to spend over $400 million in the next 10 years. So, and we're the first ones in the country that are, I think we're in the lead on that. They do commercial fishing, revolving loan funds, which they can borrow to buy boats or fishing boats, buy gear, upgrade their diesel engines to more efficient engines, because emissions is now becoming an important part of selling our product. I was told that our fishing industry had 170 audits on emissions for our fishing fleet. And they compare the carbon footprint to people who sell fisheries from farm salmon. So there's great pressure to improve our fishing fleet for emissions and efficiency. We have a fishing enhancement revolving fund, which mainly finances hatcheries. And they deal with permits and quota share. And they have a rural development fund that makes loans in communities less than 5,000 people to promote economic development. And they have a small business economic development fund for depressed areas. So, and the last division is community and regional affairs. And this is the hangover from the old DCRA department. They deal with local communities. They do the RUBA training, that's rural utility business training. They visited 172 communities last year to do training on upkeep of diesel generators and keep their generators running. They're the land trustee for villages under land claims, transfer of land from the federal government. If there is not a local government, the state becomes a trustee of the land that they have to turn over. The village corporations have to turn over. They do grants administrations, and we have about 900 grants in progress right now, and close to $1 billion in various stages of completion. They deal with forestry receipts to communities. They deal with the fisheries tax. There's staff for the local boundary commission. And in that, the last year, they incorporated the Wrangell borough and did an annexation for the Ketchikan borough. Within that division is the state tax assessor, who does annual full value tax assessment report. And they do research on community profiles and energy costs. That is a very diverse number of things that they do. And the independent agencies that some of them were joined at the hip with the Alaska Railroad Corporation, because by statute, the commissioner of this department serves on the railroad board. But we have seats on different other boards. But we have the Railroad Commission, RCA, Alaska Regulatory Commission. We have Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, which we have a seat on also, and the Alaska Energy Authority. of those, you're going to get a report from the Seafood Marketing Institute here, but they market Alaska salmon all over the world, and they just heard a number yesterday that the price of salmon to the fishermen went from, these are round numbers, and I don't remember exactly, from around 50 cents to over $2 a pound, so it has an effect on the return to the fishermen. If you have questions, I'll be glad to answer them. So, I must have done a great job.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You did do a good job. That's right.
Yes.
But a question, in your relatively short term, what short tenure, I guess I should say, what have the particular areas that you've seen where we're lacking in particularly economic development and the things that you plan to make initiatives in now your third year, fourth year, that type of thing as we move forward, hopefully, and particularly in light of the potential for a downturn in the economy? We seem to be, we lag behind the United States in some cases, the other states, I guess I should say, and probably that's good in this particular situation. So are there?
Well, there's a comment made that we do very little economic development. We do a lot of licensing and regulation, but not much economic development. We have an Office of Economic Development, but, one forestry and one mining right. expert and all. But when I got to the department, we did not have an economist. And it took us a year to work through the process to get an economist. They used to have an economist in the department, but they didn't have one. And the reason we wanted one was whenever we need data, we have to go to every different department. If we want labor statistics, we have to go there. If we need forestry, we have to go somewhere else. And what that pointed out was that if someone wanted to do business in Alaska, it's a big research job for them to get the information they need to consider going into business. So what we want to do is build a database and make it a one point of contact to get information on us. I was online looking for information one time, and I found out that Seattle had more information online than we did. So they know more about us than we do. So that's the one there.
Maybe, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely.
The idea being, you know, the CDQ operation in Bristol Bay became an extremely successful operation when that was put together, you know, from the previous process, the way things had been being done, and Bristol Bay Regional Development Corporation, or to that effect, whatever it is done a great job out there. I guess I'm looking at, do you find other areas where we may be lacking, and now that you have some things in place, I realize one person here and one person there, that's going to be very difficult, but just like the mining industry and encouraging that, we, and there probably will be some suggested changes requiring geological data to be turned over to the state so we don't reinvent the wheel. It seems like the mining that is taking place, particularly in the interior, is the same ground that was mined nearly 100 years ago by the people with the pick and shovel, and they weren't particularly successful. They might have thought they were at the time, but now the mines are finding thousands of ounces of gold that was never discovered and taking down whole sides of mountains. So that's the concept. Do you see areas where we should probably be putting more emphasis, giving you more money to invest in those types of things to bring that return back to the state and make it easier in the case of the geologic records to make it easier for companies to plan out a prospect and see what they might do and eliminate some of the upfront costs because they have access to geological records, et cetera.
Senator Thomas, through the chair, sorry about the first one. But you touched on a good point. We don't know how much minerals are taken out of the state. They're not required to give us reports. We don't have a lot of data to try to do it. A lot of it is guesswork, and it would be good to tighten that up. so we know what's being taken out. And I have a suspicion that you come from mining country, and you know, if you get gold out of the ground and you put it in a vault, you don't have to declare it as income. So that applies mostly to small miners, but the big miners, I don't know what they're doing. But I do believe that they should be required to give the state report so that we know exactly what's happening on the land. On the CDQ program, they changed the law, and they're not required to, they used to be required to give annual reports to the department. They're not required to do that now. And we're not sure what our role is until the regulations are formulated on that law. Mm-hmm. So right now, they don't report to anybody. So we're still waiting on that.
Okay. Thank you. That's good.
Any other questions for Commissioner Noddy?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Meyer.
Just a couple quick ones. Under the Office of Economic Development, there was the film office.
Yes.
I think that was a Senate bill last year, Johnny Ellis, Senator yeah. Ellis. Has anybody applied for any of those tax credits that you're aware of?
Senator Meyer, through the chair, it took until, I want to say July, before we had regulations on that. We've gone through the process of advertising, and we do have a director, and we do have an assistant. So, and they are now taking applications for refunds. So it's beginning. It's got a kind of a slow beginning, but it's up and running.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I think that has potential to bring a lot of money to the state, and as well as promote the state if the movie, of course, is done in good taste, which hopefully it will be. And then the other question, I'm pretty familiar with everything you talked about. Can you refresh, and maybe it's in the packet here, the Serve Alaska program, what that does? It's called the Alaska State Community mm-hmm. Service Commission.
Yeah, that was established under Hickel, Governor Hickel, and it was required for Alaska to apply for and get the federal money for volunteer work and service work mainly. That we do, I don't remember offhand, but there are three or four volunteer agencies that come under the umbrella of that division.
Is there state money involved with that?
I'm sorry?
Is this state matching money with federal money, or is this just kind of pass-through organization for federal money?
I believe it's pass-through, but we can ask.
That's okay.
Okay.
I just don't know much about the organization, but I'll find out. Thank you.
Okay.
Any others with questions? Well, thank you to Commissioner Noddy. We appreciate that. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Right. Thanks for the chance to explain what we do. Thank you.
We'll be adjourning, but anyway, the next committee meeting will be 1:30 p.m. on Thursday, February 5th. This meeting is adjourned. It's about 2:35.